Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
Hey, Illinois, it's time to get real. That means to upgrade your license or state ID to a real ID. According to state officials, real IDs are more secure. And after May 7th, if you're 18 or older, you'll need one to fly domestically, visit military bases, federal courthouses, and other U.S. government sites, unless you want to carry a passport around. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The upcoming deadline has sparked a surge of applications. Getting an appointment is still doable, but there are a few things you should know. So, to break it all down, we had Alexi Janulius, Illinois Secretary of State, here on the program. He started out by explaining the purpose of a real ID.
Well, first of all, we understand the confusion, and we're dealing with it every day. A few things that folks should know. The first is that not everyone needs a real ID. The second piece is that this is a federally mandated identification system. It's not Secretary of State's office. It's not the state of Illinois. And even after May 7th, if you need a real ID, and we encourage folks to go to our website, check the portal, make sure they need one. If you really need one, we are not going to cease, giving real IDs out after May 7th. This will last forever. This program will go on for a very long time.
So it's not like if you don't make the May 7th deadline, you're out of luck. No more real ID for you. That's not the case.
That's correct. The other challenge that we're seeing, so we're seeing folks flock to our facilities. We're seeing this last minute, unprecedented demand for folks who think they need a real ID, who are rushing to get it. The other challenge that we're seeing is because this new administration has taken over, there's this misnomer out there that folks need a real ID to be a U.S. citizen, to drive a vehicle, mm-hmm. To be able to vote, to have proper identification. And the truth of the matter is, if you have a valid driver's license, you don't need a real ID to drive a vehicle. If you have a valid state ID, that is a proper form of identification, even without a real ID. And you don't need a real ID to vote. So we're seeing folks flock to our facilities, gobble up appointments, wait in line, and throw our system into disarray. We have worked very hard to combat that. We introduced Saturday DMV hours. This morning we announced the first in the nation super center, a real ID super center.
In the loop, right?
On Clark and Lake. Mm-hmm. So we're doing everything we can to deal with this issue. But again, first and foremost, make sure you need a real ID.
Right. And so how do you find out who needs one?
If you go to our website, ilsos.org, I-L-S-O-S, I'm sorry, .gov, you can go through our portal, make sure you need it.
Yeah.
And if you do need it, it'll walk you through the best way to get it done. The other challenge that we're seeing because of this unprecedented demand, there are folks who just need basic Secretary of State services that can't get an appointment because so many people are gobbling them up mm-hmm. within milliseconds for a real ID.
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, when it was reported that, you know, this was the deadline, right, May 7th, we also heard back in December that, you know, more than 3 million IDs had already been issued. But as of the end of last year, that only meant 25% of the state. And so Illinois residents sort of had this feeling like, okay, we've got a long way to go for us to get to the max here. So I think that's why you're starting to see people like sprint to the various facilities. And so it sounds like you're coming up with some workarounds.
We are working very hard. Again, the Saturday hours, we've opened up 2,500 extra appointments a day. The super center is already filling up, even though it's not technically open till tomorrow. The other thing, we've been talking about this since we took office 2 years ago. So we've been traveling the state, raising awareness of this mm-hmm. issue, making sure people know that if they need a real ID, they should come get one. We did another press conference a year ago, and that even though this is a federally mandated identification system, we're in charge of implementing it. And I want to give a shout out to our employees who are dealing with the type of unprecedented demand that they've never seen in their lives, and we've definitely never seen since we've taken over.
And so it's crystal clear for folks listening, if someone is trying to fly without a real ID and it is after May 7th. What happens then?
So the truth of the matter is, and this is where that we're getting conflicting information from Homeland Security and TSA. Look, if you don't have a real ID or a passport, although a lot of people do have a passport, if you have neither and if you travel, they're not going to kick you off a plane. There's too many folks who just don't have either. So yeah. There will be what they're sort of giving us some breadcrumbs and telling us there will be a 2-year quote unquote enforcement period where you'll probably get a warning.
And this is for traveling domestically.
This is for traveling domestically. Correct. Internationally, you'll still need a passport.
Correct.
So if you have a passport, don't worry. And even if you don't have a real ID or passport after May 7th, they have told us kind of sneakily that there will be what's called a quote unquote enforcement period. So, you know, it's easy to come here and bang on the federal government. I will do it again today.
Yeah.
It has been mixed messaging from Homeland Security, but we're doing everything we can to deal with this unprecedented demand. The part that's so frustrating, you know, we've spent 2 years since taking office modernizing, moving to a skip the line program, an appointment only system, moving more services online. We actually, before this onset of real ID demand, we actually eliminated wait times at our facilities, which we were very proud of, which is what I got elected to do, which is what I promised people we do.
Right.
So to see these lines and appointments get gobbled up is extraordinarily frustrating to me and to our team.
I got to ask, if you're practicing what you preach, do you have a real ID?
You're the first person to ask me that. And yes, I have a real ID.
Okay.
My wife has one. I think most of the people I know, hopefully they have them because I've been hammering this for a year. but that's a very fair question.
All right. You wrote an op-ed in the Trib back in December where you were sort of talking about the importance of government sort of getting back to the basics, cutting out what you called the time tax and just making some of our daily processes, such as these, right, going to the DMV, just a lot easier. You start the piece by saying, you know, if Democrats are looking for a new political priority, we should consider administrative competence and innovation. It's not very sexy, but in a world of increasing uncertainty, more reliable delivery of basic services just might be something that people want right now. Say more on this.
So I'm a big believer, both anecdotally, based on data, based on polling, based on walking up and down the street and being a voter myself. People want administrative competency. Show me that you can run a good administration. Show me that you are being innovative and finding ways to make my life easier, whether it's on a state level, a county level, federal level. And that's what we've worked very hard to do. We have not been particularly partisan. Our job is to eliminate the time tax, which is the tax that everyday people are using to access simple government services. And I've always believed that if you really want to win elections, that you can show that you can have a competent, effective administration that is focusing on handling people's problems in a quick and timely manner, and then you get out of people's way. We've done that aggressively, but we've also been able to, in this office as the state librarian and some of the other hats that we wear, we've been able to have an aggressive legislative agenda. We were the first state in America to ban book bans. As the state librarian, I think it's crazy that they're banning books in certain libraries. I'm a big believer in the freedom of speech and the freedom of education. I trust our librarians and library staff to make these decisions. So I think you can walk and chew gum at the same time. But in order to build that trust back in government, I really think that people want to see, Democrat or Republican, that you are doing your job and you're providing efficiency.
Yeah. Is it fair, though, to say that there are a ton of problems right now in our cities and in our states? Large problems, you know, violent crime, healthcare issues. Affordable housing is a thing that's plaguing all of our cities. Governments may be focused on that and not so much of the mundane daily issues. What do you say to that?
So I think that goes back to my point. I think when you ask people to make sacrifices, property taxes, income taxes, whatever it may be, my sort of feeling on this is people don't necessarily mind that if they know that government is working for them, that is the most efficient use of taxpayer dollars, that there's not waste, fraud, and abuse, and that the money that they're being asked to, you know, pay in taxes is being used appropriately. I think if people had trust in their local elected officials and the federal government, they'd be much more inclined to make these sacrifices when they see results. That's what I hear as I walk down the street.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of fears too that the Trump administration is cutting a lot of services right now, especially, you know, given the tens of thousands of people that they're firing across federal departments.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you know, I mentioned getting rid of waste, fraud, and abuse. We've done that in the Secretary of State's office. I could not be more proud of what we've done to modernize the office and create these efficiencies. But to come in with an axe and get rid of government services that are needed, to slash Medicaid funding for folks that are really struggling and need it without a game plan, without a sort of an efficient way of handling this, is absolutely bonkers. And I'm not saying that as a Democrat. I'm saying it as someone who flies on a plane, who understands that you don't fire air traffic controllers at a time when there's already a shortage, that you don't cut aid that's needed to underserved communities. And I don't understand how they're, I think this makes sense. You know, our foreign service agents, the FBI personnel, they're just like literally firing people at FEMA. You have government workers who have spent their lives as public servants, and without any sort of heads up, without any sort of a game plan, they're just firing people, and then they're rehiring them, saying they made a mistake. It's literally lunacy.
So then tell me your vision for the future of the Democratic Party amidst all of this, and how far would you say that they are from your vision right now?
I would say that I look at people who are doing things the right way. I mean, Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania is popular because he cut the time that people need to get a building permit. They've done the same thing in Michigan and Illinois. We've worked hard to make government work faster and more effectively. So, you know, I haven't seen polling to really look at who's doing it right and what the best method is. But I'm saying in general, people, prove to me that you're efficient. Prove to me that you can run a competent administration. And that's what folks want now more than ever.
Yeah. How do you see your office playing a role in next steps that Democrats should take moving forward?
We've been on the front lines. Again, we mentioned our book ban bill. I'm a big believer in libraries. I grew up with my brothers going to libraries. I think this assault on our librarians is absolutely crazy. You have these extremist few individuals and communities that are trying to dictate what books other families should be allowed to read. It's madness. I think, you know, we've also passed legislation to make sure that automatic license plate readers aren't being used to track women who come into Illinois to get a legal abortion. So we're on the front lines on a lot of these battles. And one of the things we're most proud of is removing the TVDL marker from driver's license for folks who are undocumented. So my job is to keep our roads and streets and highways safe, but also, you know, have an equitable process for getting this done. So a lot of the moves we've made, you sort of marry efficiency with doing the right thing, which I think in many times you're able to do both.
Got to ask you another ID question while you're here. Mobile IDs, that's now legal in our state. So it means that we're closer than to issuing digital driver's licenses?
Yeah, so from day one, one of the priorities of this administration has been to modernize the office. We've seen 12 other states that currently have mobile driver's license and mobile IDs. And look, the world is changing. You know, if I go to a Bulls game tonight, my ticket will be on my phone. If I take my wife to a movie, my ticket will be on our phones.
Like your Apple wallet or your Google wallet.
Yes. So 12 other states are now doing this. 18 others are in the process of doing it. The technology is really incredible. I'm fired up about it. And our goal is within the next, you know, 12 to 18 months to really have this real ID on people's phones. I'm sorry, not the real ID, the mobile driver's license on people's phone. Mm-hmm. It's what people want. It'll create efficiencies. And it just, it starts bringing us into the 21st century.
But that's a good question, though. Would the digital ID be considered a real ID?
Yeah, that was a Freudian slip. We're trying to see if the federal government can give us some guidance on how that's going to work. They're normally a step behind.
People will want to use that to fly.
Yeah, of course. And we've already have a contract with Apple to include it in the Apple Wallet. We're going to work with Android and Google users. So the technology is really cool. I'm proud of the modernization efforts. You know, we announced for the first time in Illinois' history an electronic notary system, for the first time in Illinois' history, an electronically lien title system. Mm-hmm. We announced our kiosks. So we essentially have Secretary of State ATM machines in grocery stores where folks can access Secretary of State services. So we've been relentlessly driven to innovate this office the way that we think it's never been done before. And that's not a testament to me. It's to our amazing team of people who really believe in creating those efficiencies that you and I just talked about.
And now the Real ID Super Center.
And now we have the first in the nation Real ID Super Center. Again, I'm a big believer in you solve problems, you aggressively deal with whatever comes up. And, you know, this real ID is not our issue. It's a federal issue. But we're building this plane as we're in the air flying it. So it's exciting. It's fun. We just don't want people to have to wait. And we've done so much in 2 years to eliminate the wait times. And it's been a little frustrating, but we are doing all we can.
You'll leave it there. That's Alexei Janulis, Illinois Secretary of State. Thank you so much for joining us.
I love being here. Thanks so much.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Alyssa Manthi. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. To never miss an episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.